But a Bible that'll take you beyond the superficial, got some notes in the margin or at the bottom, gives you a context for how the scriptures are reading, tells you something about the history, gives you something of the circumstances and the audience to which it's written. A good study Bible will take you a long way for getting spiritually healthy this year. I want to encourage you to get it. Memorization, another good way. We can only delight ourselves in the Lord when it becomes a regular part of us. You remember the psalmist. He says, I hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's such a power that comes with possession in the word of God. Memorization is a great way to go. You say, I can't memorize. I can't either. I have a terrible memory. You say, that's a nonsense. You don't know me. But I've got an app on my phone called the Fighter Verse, and it brings up that verse for me. It quizzes me and helps me all along in the day, and just I've got a piece of it, just a little piece of it. Again, there's a plethora of things out there will help to make the word your delight and to grant you strength. Study, memorization, application. Look for ways where it is applied to your life. He delights himself in the law of the Lord. Now, beyond his priority, look at his pattern. Verse 1. He walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. That's a great pattern to have. He walks not in the counsel of the wicked. This is a man who refutes the advice of those who are godless. The spiritually healthy person is the person who recognizes that the learning of man for all of its value is nothing compared to the wisdom of God. Those who are growing in the strength of the Lord understand that they are citizens of the city of God. That's a very different membership than the city of man. Those who are growing strong in the Lord understand that they're looking to exemplify and glorify their Creator. They understand that their watchword is Jesus Christ is Lord. They also understand that they have no king but Christ. This is the pattern of their lives. He walks not in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. There's the other pattern. The spiritual health of man of Psalm 1 doesn't frequent the places of sinful men. Well, I'm not suggesting he doesn't have friends who aren't Christians. He does, just as Jesus did. But he doesn't stand in the way that they stand. His posture is different. He shines a light on those who don't know the truth of the gospel. He compassionately points them to the truth. He doesn't stand aloof. He has a care for those who he looks at and thinks to himself, without Christ, they'll be damned. I've got to do something. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He's in the world, most certainly, but he's not of it. He hears the cry of his Savior, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Third in this pattern is he does not sit in the seat of scoffers. This man is one who finds strength in the Lord alone. He isn't taken up by the bitter sarcasm of the culture, where everyone else has a complaint and no one's interested in shouldering their own responsibility. This one chooses to say something filled with faith. This one chooses to walk with the Lord. This godly man recognizes, no matter how bad things appear, the Lord is actively in this situation, turning it for good, seeing to it that the kingdom is advanced, his glory will be given up, and he will do right by me. This is a man who takes the instruction of the Apostle Paul to heart. He guards himself against the root of bitterness. He understands that not to do so will cause his heart to turn and the hearts of those around him as well. His priority is for the Lord's word. His pattern is a godly walk. Now, thirdly, will you notice his portion? He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's quite a portion. Fruit in season, and a leaf that doesn't wither. It doesn't matter what the prevailing conditions are like. This man is planted right next to a stream. Even in the midst of drought, he's unaffected. That's a beautiful picture for the one who's drawing their life from the Savior. A little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. He isn't focused on what might happen, on that drought. He is focused on that which nourishes him on that stream. He hears the words of Christ in his memory. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And he draws on the Savior, and draws on the Savior, and draws on the Savior. And so, for this one who is spiritually healthy, when financial downturn comes into his life, he recognizes God will be enough. When disappointment and discouragement comes, some great failure of a dream or a plan that he had so hoped, the brokenness of a relationship that just won't happen. When health breaks, when one that you love so much is taken from you by death, this man looks to that stream and draws his nourishment. He recognizes that whatever his lot, he cries out with the psalmist, God is my strength. God is my portion. That will be enough. Many years after the psalmist was long past, Oswald Chambers, that great British Bible teacher, came to the same conclusion. Listen to his words. If your faith, he says, if your strength, if your health for your spirit, if your faith is in experiences, anything that happens is likely to upset that faith. But nothing can ever upset God, the almighty reality of redemption. That's a great insight, isn't it? You and I are going to encounter in 2017 any number of circumstances which are going to threaten to shake us to our core, to choke off that which supplies us with nourishment, to take away our activity, maybe to break us. And if we are looking to that experience alone for our faith, we are going to falter and grow very, very weak. If your faith is in experiences, anything that happens is likely to upset that faith. But nothing can ever upset God, the almighty reality of redemption. Base your faith, Chambers says, on that, and you are eternally secure as God. In all that he does, he prospers. Is your life like that? Do you draw your nourishment from the Lord that way? When these winds of adversity blow in, are your roots grown down deep and strong that you'll be able to withstand? I hope so. It's been said that the fruit of a life is revealed by the truth of a life. That's a good word. A man or a woman who genuinely is spiritually strong and healthy will give forth evidence of that by the fruit that's in their life, and they will see. Now, what is it that does that? It's the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ within. I'm not sure I have that, you say. Well, let me bring to you in this theme of checkups and good spiritual health, five symptoms of those who genuinely are healthy and well in Christ. Those who are genuinely healthy first have been regenerated by Christ's Spirit. That's true. Spiritual health doesn't occur apart from being born from above. It's not possible. It is the presence and power of the Holy Ghost within us that engenders us the strength to withstand that which is so awful and sometimes so hellish in our lives. Spiritual health is wrought by virtue of the fact that there is someone within us. You cannot have it by way of willpower or teeth gritting. Here's a second observation. True, genuine spiritual health shows the power of sin has been broken. Romans 6 says this, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace." Spiritual health always gives evidence that sin has been dealt with in Christ's past, and it is being dealt with in the present by the work of the Holy Spirit within. There is an active sense of what God is doing and working, and so confession and repentance are the watchwords of those who know this spiritual health. Is that a part of your life? Are you regularly coming under not the condemnation but the conviction of the Holy Spirit and thinking, yes, this is my year. This is my year just here to allow the Spirit to have full realm in this area that I've not given Him control in times past. Power of broken sin. Here's a third symptom that's true of those who have spiritually healthy lives. They show that God is actively at work in their lives. Spiritual health is something that penetrates through the whole of the Christian life, through all of the fabric. It affects how we talk. It affects how we think. It affects how we spend our money and our time, our calendar. Everything is affected by spiritual health and strength. God is actively at work in us. It's not as if we can say, well, that's a part of my church life, but that's a part of my non-church life. Well, no, it's all belonging to God. Abraham Kuyper, the great Dutch theologian of times past, said, "There is not one square inch of this world where Jesus cannot say, 'Mine.' It's all His." And those who are spiritually healthy, who are vibrant, who are growing, are looking to give Him more and more and more. Here's a fourth of the symptoms, as we're almost done. Those who have a genuine spiritual health show that they are in pursuit of God. They are in pursuit of God. They're interested in finding out what God wants, and then they want it too. Those things that break the heart of God break their heart. Paul, writing to the church of Colossians, listen to this from the third chapter. "Put to death," he says, "put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry." It's not that the spiritually healthy person has a checklist. I'll be sure that I get these things done in the next year. It's not that. It's that they are on a quest for godliness. Oh God, whatever it is that sensitizes your heart, make me sensitive to that as well. They're more sensitive to those things which will harm their heart than not. They're interested in growing in grace. They're interested in doing those things which are to their good. They're interested in pleasing their Father. "What will you have today for me, O God?" Finally, and fifthly, those that are spiritually healthy genuinely show that they are becoming more and more like their Savior. With the passing of time, the healthy Christian looks more and more like his elder brother, the Lord Jesus. They grow in grace. The fruit of the Spirit is present still more in their lives. They're not perfect, but they long to be moving along that continuum in which they are leaving beside or behind the works of the flesh and becoming more and more like their Savior who saved them. You say, "Well, I'm not sure I'm there just now, but I'll try harder." It'll never work. God's great commendation to us is Himself. His great invitation is to taste and see that the Lord is good. And His great requirement is that we would know Christ personally by invitation through faith. Let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, our desire even in this year is to grow in grace and to be spiritually healthy. Our desire is that we would be like this man from the first psalm, that we would delight in your law as our first priority. Our desire, O God, is that the pattern of our life would be like His, not walking in the way of sinners, not standing in the path of the ungodly, not sitting in the seat of the scornful. O God, our desire is that we would have His portion, that we would flourish in everything we do. Grant that that this would be true, and grant that we would have Christ, that it could be true. Father, for those hearts who yet do not know the Savior, we ask that You would do the work of regeneration, and You would give the gift of faith, that they might be born anew. We thank You for this, Your word preached over us, and we pray, may it give You Your glory. In Christ's mighty name, amen.